I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 488. And welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. As we get started today, I recognize engaging God's word for yourself can feel daunting. And so while our featured song will give us fresh inspiration as to where to study, the episode guide will give you the interaction tools you need to dig in. So grab your episode 488 guide at michellenezat.com/488 download. And if you've already subscribed to my email list, this guide is already in your inbox, ready to help you discover and meditate on God's word in new ways. It is appropriate on the heels of celebrating the resurrection that we feature a song about expressing our gratitude. Counting My Blessings by Seth Schlieder reminds us that we will never come to the end of rehearsing the goodness of God. He says, "I will keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high." Let's listen.
God, I'm still counting my blessings.
I've been all over the place in Scripture in preparation for today's podcast. I really don't like that method or that feeling because it's kind of scattered and distracting, and I prefer reading in larger chunks of Scripture and then just settling in. And I kind of started there, but I did end up getting a little bit more scattered. But if I can wrangle all my scatterings and smatterings of thoughts and explorations, then I pray that I can bring you the joy and insight that I have found and then inspire you to go on a tour of thanksgiving throughout Scripture. So to count your blessings is to be thankful. And the first place that I thought of to study this week is in 1 Thessalonians, because in chapter 5, verse 18, it says this: "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So I picked up 1 Thessalonians and I took the bite of reading in context. Now, BITE, B-I-T-E, stands for Bible Interaction Tool Exercise, and reading in context is my favorite bite. And I loosely define reading in context as reading the chapter before, the chapter, and the chapter after the focus verse that I'm considering. Now, in the case of short letters like 1 Thessalonians, to read in context is just to read the whole thing. I mean, there's only 5 chapters, right? So when you do that, if you're going to read all of 1 Thessalonians, then when you do that, you're going to be greeted with thankfulness right out of the gate. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." And then when I continued reading and listening, because I also took the bite of listening to an audio version of the text, it's a great way to also take the bite of repetition, which is a wonderful way to really let a large chunk of Scripture sink in and become more familiar. So you read it once, you listen to it a few times, you read it again, maybe you listen to it while following along while reading and get that repetition in. But when you keep reading here in chapter 1, then you can then determine what things Paul is specifically thankful for. So a counting of blessings of sorts, right? So take the bite of making a list here and you will see things like work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in Christ, receipt of the word in much affliction. He was thankful for that. Receipt of the word with the joy of the Holy Spirit, being an example for other believers, and more. So you'll see things that he's thankful for. And then when you keep reading, you see another reference to thankfulness. In verse 13 of chapter 2, it says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." Now, I count this as a blessing every week because I hear from you, my listeners, every week talking about this very thing. I share scripture on the podcast. You receive it as the word of God. You believe me when I say that God will work in it and through it in your lives if you will just immerse yourself in it. And you do. And then he does. And I count this as one of my greatest blessings. I really do. So I just love being able to be a part of your story in this way. But as we keep reading in 1 Thessalonians, we get to chapter 5. There's a slew of snappy phrases and instructions on how to live as followers of Christ. And in light of the fact that Jesus could come back at any time, we are to stay out of the dark and we're to walk as children of light. And by the time we get to verse 16, we read this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Easier said than done, don't you think? So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. All verbs, all actions that we are to take. And true to the theme of our song, giving thanks is one of the verbs. So now I know that I am to take the action of giving thanks in all circumstances, but I'm really not sure how to go about doing that. So one of my next questions was, what does giving thanks look like in scripture? So then that loops us back around to the list that we made from chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians. You know, Paul gives us an example of things that he gives thanks for. He kind of lists them out in a letter. You know, interestingly enough, again, Paul wrote them down. He wrote them down in a letter. If I am to follow Paul's example, I don't necessarily have to send a letter, although why not? But I could start with the practice of writing down what I'm thankful for. My husband's unwavering love. Bible students in my class excited about engaging with scripture. Wood ducks nibbling grass in the lake. Fields of yellow flowers in the spring. All of my developmental edits back from my editor to refine my novel. Friends who will join me in fasting and praying for God's discernment. God's discernment. Of course, I could go on and on and on. In fact, I am taking the challenge of a book that I picked up recently. It's called 1,000 Gifts by Anne Voskamp. It's been out for a while. I will go ahead and link to the book and to an interview that she did with Kirk Cameron on YouTube that reminded me about the book. I went and listened to the interview. But did you know that if you wrote down three things that you're thankful for every day, before the end of the year is up, you would have logged 1,000 gifts? Three things every day, by the end of the year, 1,000 gifts. Now, my daughter said that she didn't think she could come up with that many new things. And I challenged her, and I challenge you to try. So Anne Voskamp, in this book, 1,000 Gifts, describes how the practice of writing down her gratitude daily put her on the hunt for things to be thankful for. And I want to be on the hunt. And this means that the things I'm thankful for might be macro or micro, as broad as the love of my daughter or as specific as her inviting me to pray with her for a friend. So, but listening to this podcast, reading the scriptures we're getting ready to dive into, or even picking up the book that I'm recommending will not do you any good unless you practice giving thanks. You must actually take the action. And Anne says, if we are dying of thirst, passively reading books about water quenches little. The only way to quench the parched mouth is to close the book and dip the hand into water and bring it to the lips. If we thirst, we'll have to drink. So what is this word for giving thanks in scripture? It is the Greek word eucharisteo. And that is absolutely not how you say it in Greek. But when I listened to the audio pronunciation of that word in Logos, my Bible software, I could not pronounce the word anyway, so I'm just going to read it as it seems like it would be pronounced in English. Eucharisteo, Eucharisteo. Did you hear it? The verb in Greek to give thanks is the foundation of the word Eucharist or Holy Communion. And I never knew that. So given the chance to guess, I would have thought that Eucharist was related to the word for bread or for body. I did not realize it was related to the word for giving thanks. So examining this word in the original language is taking the bite of completing a word study. And I do word studies by double-clicking on the word in Logos. It pops up the Lexham Theological Word Book for a definition, and it shows me where else it is used in Scripture. If you don't have Logos, another way to explore this word is to go to BibleHub.com. You can look up 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and then off to the right, you can click on the phrase "Give thanks" in that far right column. It'll send you to the summary page for that word, Eucharisteo. And if you're on BibleHub, here you're going to discover that this word comes from two different Greek words, one for good, one for grace. And so properly acknowledging that God's grace works well. That's what the foundation of this giving thanks. And so it is literally thankful for God's good grace. So when we count our blessings by writing them down, we are practicing our gratitude for God's good grace evident all around us if we're willing to go on the hunt. So if I jump back to my Logos Bible software, according to that Lexham Theological Word Book, this verb means to give thanks. We knew that. And it's only used in the New Testament as giving thanks to God. And then the word book goes on to talk about the times when Jesus gave thanks. And the first example is at the Last Supper. So calling the Lord's Supper Eucharist makes sense, right? Since that is what Jesus did at the Last Supper. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 22, verse 17. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, Eucharisteo, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, Eucharisteo, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so if I want to learn how to give thanks, I first look to the sinless one as my example. How and when did Jesus give thanks? That might clue me into how to practice this counting my blessings for myself. Now, I've already read you the reference out of Luke at the Last Supper. So let's talk about it a little bit. If you take the bite of meditation and you can let this scene kind of roll around in your mind a bit. So Jesus gives thanks, Eucharisteo, at the Last Supper. It's during a Passover meal with his disciples. And this is right before he will become the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And when we read this scene in context, we see that Jesus and his disciples have entered the city. They've located a house where they can celebrate this Passover meal together. And then in the verses just preceding what I just read, it said, "When the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" And then this is how Paul recaps what happens next. So if you jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you see Paul talking about this scene. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, Eucharisteo, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So Jesus gave thanks for this bread and this cup, that he knew would from now on represent his broken body and poured out blood. Jesus gave thanks for his impending suffering and sacrifice because he knew what was on the other side of it. How does Hebrews put it? Hebrews 12:2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Talk about an example of giving thanks in all circumstances. And I don't want you to miss the detail that Paul included and is also in the very next verse in Luke. He says, "Here's my body, here's my blood, do this in remembrance of me." But in verse 21, he says, "But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table." Jesus gave thanks. Jesus acknowledged the grace of God in the midst of his impending sacrifice and looming betrayal. This is no small thing. You know, these are painful, painful times in the life of our Savior. And yet, he gave thanks. Now let's look at another scene where Jesus gave thanks. This is a different year at a previous Passover celebration time. And it's a scene that we may commonly know as the feeding of the 5,000. The crowds gather. Jesus wants to feed them. All they have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then this happens. John 6, verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, Eucharisteo, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And just in case you think it's a throwaway word, like a simple blessing of the food, read verse 23 of John chapter 6. It says, other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Let me read it again. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had Eucharisteo. Isn't that interesting? The scene changes, right? Because they were on the mountain and then they were trying to find him. But the place is described as the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had Eucharisteo. Obviously, the Eucharisteo was an integral part of the miracle. Thankfulness for God's good grace preceded the miracle and marked the moment. So, or what about the time when Jesus raised a man from the dead? Did Eucharisteo precede that mind-blowing miracle? Why, yes, it did. Lazarus has died. He's been dead, actually, for a long time before Jesus shows up on the scene. In John chapter 11, verse 38, it says, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you, Eucharisteo, that you've heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. In the midst of sorrow and death, Jesus gives thanks. Preceding sorrow and death, Jesus gives thanks. Preceding betrayal, knowing it's coming, Jesus gives thanks. In the midst of hunger and lack, Jesus gives thanks. And what's on the other side of this Eucharisteo? You see miracles and provision and fullness and resurrection and life. How did Jesus give thanks? He gave thanks to God. When did Jesus give thanks? In all circumstances. Now, in the video I'm going to link to in the show notes, Ann Voskamp says this, if we can give thanks in everything, we can live through anything. Don't underestimate the power of the practice of Eucharisteo. Now, I do also want to take the bite before we jump off of considering the opposite. So if we have some examples of how and when we should give thanks, what does scripture say about people who do not give thanks? Or is there an inappropriate way to give thanks? Let's look at that. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, we see people described as not giving thanks. It says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Eucharistason, I think, is the actual word there, but it's the same root word. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So these people actually were described earlier as ungodly and unrighteous and suppressors of truth. These people clearly see God's grace and they don't honor him or thank him. Now, the opposite is true. Those who are godly and righteous and reflectors of truth should be a God-honoring and thankful people. May we not be ones who can clearly see God's grace and then don't thank him. And then in Luke chapter 18, verse 11, we see a hypocritical religious person giving thanks in a presumptuous and arrogant fashion. It says, the Pharisee standing by himself prayed thus, God, I thank you, Eucharisto, that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And this is the picture contrasted with the tax collector, where his eyes are lowered and he's beating his chest and he's saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says in Luke 18, verse 14, he says, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This proves there is an inappropriate way to give thanks. All right. And then we also see a contrast between taking the action of giving thanks, either by writing it down or speaking it out loud. In Ephesians 5:4, it says, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving." So here, giving thanks is contrasted with using our words in other ways. According to Ephesians 5:1, it says we're to be imitators of God as beloved children. And as such, we will use our words to give thanks to God, not spending those words frivolously in filthy and foolish talk or crude joking. So let's end where we started. Let's imitate Christ in our Eucharisteo. Let's imitate his willingness to Eucharisteo in all circumstances, like we are instructed to in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And as our song entreats, let us count our blessings. I wonder what kind of resurrection and life and miracles and provision lies on the other side. So what's next? Well, spend some time in 1 Thessalonians, make a list of what Paul is thankful for, and then make your own list of things that you're thankful for. Be imitators of Christ in your Eucharisteo. Read about Christ giving thanks in Scripture and follow along by using the episode guide, and then take action. Don't just read about giving thanks, actually give thanks. And then while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, Michelle@michellenezat.com. You can even email me a list of things that you are thankful for. That would be kind of fun. Hop on Twitter or Instagram at Michelle Nezat, or on Facebook. Michelle L. Nezat is my public page, and we can talk about what we're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. Check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to grab that episode guide that I mentioned at michellenezat.com/488-download. With that in mind, I want to thank my newest subscribers who've subscribed lately, like Lou from Missouri, Holly from Arkansas, Thomas from California, Denise from Pennsylvania, Beth Ann from Georgia, and Merlin from Saudi Arabia. Welcome. And don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, could you do that today? Head over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. I would really appreciate it. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next time, I will be featuring Faithfully by Toby Mac to dive into Scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With one click, you can share via Facebook, X, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/488. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's Word and consider His ways.